It's America's 250th birthday, and I'm going to shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, they've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging, storage, and those signature Bob-opedic seats. So, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture. Where America shops for furniture.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, indeed. Good morning. I am joined from the University of Minnesota by Julie Weisenhorn. Good morning, Julie.
Hey, good morning, Denny. Happy snowfall.
Yeah, I guess. Did you guys get a few inches? Maybe like close to a foot?
I don't think we got a
Not
foot.
Quite.
I'm looking out the windows here, and I hear a snowblower going out there. But
hear many of those.
Yeah, I think we probably got 8 inches or so.
Okay.
Out here. I haven't really looked. I haven't been outside yet.
Well, I was happy, certainly to get the snow cover, and I'm looking at the forecast, and I did a little dormant seeding, and I think I mentioned this earlier last week's show. I turned my outside faucet back on so I could water my boxwoods.
Okay.
And while the ground really wasn't frozen yet.
Sure,
so I'm glad of that, but the snow cover really is a blessing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Snow has a huge insulating ability for us. It's as good as wood chips or straw. I was doing a little bit of research before the show on the insulating R value of snow. It's an R value of 1. And so 12 inches of snow, 10 to 12 inches is about the equivalent of like 6 inches of fiberglass insulation, if you want to relate it that way. But it also has the R value of... wood chips and straw is the same as snow. It's about 1, 1.5 or so. But yeah, so 10, 12 inches that's a nice insulating cover. And it traps that air in the molecules of the snow. And so it helps to hold it in and insulates the soil, insulates the plant roots, which we always appreciate that. So
yeah, no, that's a good deal. And again, looking at the forecast, and we heard Paul Douglas say too, that there's still... It's in the forecast, a possibility not only of having 36 degrees tomorrow and the next day, but maybe near 50 on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, if this stuff melts, I can get in more dormant seating before the end of the year, possibly. But we'll wait and see. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, call in or text in to Julie at 651-461-9226. And I'm going to make mention too, Julie, we've got kind of a Christmas gift, don't we, for the 10 o'clock, kind of an added bonus. We're going to do another lawn and garden show, another smart garden show today in the 10 o'clock hour. And as Julie knows and our listeners know, who are regular listeners of the show, we tend to get really busy during this particular hour. So have a couple of chances of getting those lawn and garden questions ready this hour and again in the 10 o'clock hour this morning. So stay with us. Again, if you have a lawn or garden question, 651-461-9226. All right, let's see. Here's one that just came in. How do I rejuvenate my older William Baffin Rose? Just a few thinner canes there now, old thick stumps in the middle. Suckers are coming up a ways away. So how do they rejuvenate that rose?
Well, that's a great rose, William Baffin. It's a tried and true, what we call a climbing rose, though roses truly don't climb. They don't have tendrils. They don't wrap around things. Usually have to tie them up. If you didn't, they just flop down on the ground and they'd be almost like a ground cover. But William Baffin is a pretty sturdy rose. I think probably judicious pruning. So pruning it, which sounds like the gardener already does that. But also maybe doing some rose fertilization. There's special fertilizers that are for roses. Might want to work a little bit of compost into the soil. The soil might need a little bit of rejuvenation as well. So basically working down at the roots of the plant, I think, and allowing some of those suckers to come up and maybe form some new canes as well. So those are a couple of ideas. And also, I mean, this year, this was a dry, hot year, so it was tough on plants. So anything we can do in the spring to enhance the growing conditions for our plants, mulch the base of the plant to keep those roots cool over the hot summers, all of those things will help to, I think, probably rejuvenate plants and get them through into the next growing season.
You and I talk about this once in a while. Of course, there's snow cover now, but as far as cleaning up hostas that have had their way this this growing season, I used to, after the season, would take the lawnmower with the bag and clean those up. I did not do that this year. I just raked. Is there any particular positive or negative to getting rid of those old leaves?
I think it's that cleanup in the fall, especially with hostas, is kind of up to the gardener, because the hosta leaves, as they die down, they actually act as a protective cover for the crown of the plant. But hostas are tough. I mean, they really are. And so it's kind of up to the gardener how much time they have. I do actually, this year I actually cut back some of my hostas because they had really died out from the heat, and I had the time to do it. We had such a long fall, so I had the time to go in there and nip out some of the dead leaves around the base. But I don't know if I would mow it. It would depend on the mass of hosta that you have, just because the mower might nick some of the crowns of the plants. Raking was fine. Raking can do that too. So I think it's kind of a choice that you have. You could raise your mower high enough so it wouldn't harm the plants. I'm more of a pruner person, so I would take my pruner and just snip off the dead stuff. But I leave a lot of hosta through the winter and clean it up in the spring too.
That's actually what happened this season. This year was Sandy clipped.
Clean it up in the spring too.
That's actually what happened this season. This year was Sandy clipped. She clipped and I raked, so there was no damage to the crown. So that's a good point. I never really thought about that. All right, if you have a lawn and garden question, here it is. Here's the number. It's phone number and text number all wrapped into one. 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. This texter says this, Julie, how long does it take for the poinsettia leaves to turn red? I've covered them about 18 hours a day. Thanks so much, and happy holiday.
That's a nice wish, and happy holiday to you also. So poinsettias, I believe that it takes numerous weeks for those bracts, that's what we would call the petals, to turn the colors. I'm just looking actually at our poinsettia page here and trying to see what we can do about the reblooming. So I'm going to take a look here. It's not an easy task to do it. So I think the important thing is when you look at all of those poinsettias that are in a greenhouse and they're all perfectly red or pink or white or striped, you have to admire the skills of the greenhouse to actually get that to happen. It has to do with about 18 hours of darkness, and then that would happen probably for let's see. I'm just thinking about this. It's 16 to 18 hours of uninterrupted darkness, and then 8 hours of bright light every day. But I'm not sure. I think it actually happens probably from about September, middle of September to about Thanksgiving. So what is that? One, you know, two, six, probably about roughly about eight to 10 weeks. And that should probably at least start to turn those bracts somewhat colorful. So,
right.
That's a tough thing to do. I know some people have called in or texted in before and they've been able to do it. But I forgot my poinsettia in the closet. I tried doing it and forgot about it and it died. So
it happens.
Oops.
If it happens to you, it can happen to anybody. All right, Julie, hang on. Let's invite our listeners to join in. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, I don't know how many lawn questions we'll get with this snow. Maybe we will. Could be surprising. Call in or text in either one, 651-461-9226. And Julie, when we come back, let's talk about that website you were looking at and tell the folks who are not aware of it. Great website. This is the Smart Garden Show. Stay with us here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. And good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. We are around every Saturday here on CCO Radio in the 8 o'clock hour. This morning, Julie Weisenhorn from the University of Minnesota helping you out with your lawn and garden questions. So call us or text us. Again, it's the same number, 651-461-9226 for either your phone call or your text question for Julie. You mentioned the website, the U of M website, and for those of us, those new listeners of ours who may not be aware of it, it's a tremendous, you guys put so much work into that, but in the end result is a whole lot of information. Talk about that.
Well, our goal with our website is, you know, we are not everything to everyone. We are not, we don't claim to be the greatest tropical plant people, or, you know, we don't put things in like feng shui design or anything. But what we try to do is give good basic information for Minnesota gardeners on diseases, on insects, on trees and shrubs, on plant selection, some lawn care, vegetables and fruits. And we try to get as much as we can. And we try to choose topics that are most common to Minnesota landscapes, but also good advice that's research-based for Minnesota gardeners. So it's, of course, free to everybody. We work a lot on getting information based on a lot of questions that we get, for example, from this show. I've written a lot of the information on houseplants because of the questions people ask. Tree care as well. We just updated a really great page. And, you know, Denny, we recommend certified arborists often on this show.
Oh, yes.
And so I worked with a couple of our forest resources faculty on updating our How to Hire a Tree Care Professional webpage. So this is something that explains about the certification of tree care professionals, how to find them, also kinds of questions that you might ask. So it's a kind of a refreshed page. And that's just one example of some of the information that we try to give out. We also have great recommendations for, say, strawberries and grapes and apples. And, of course, those are big breeding programs that we have here at the University of Minnesota. So lots of really good information, lots of photos. That's another thing we try to also include. And we have a nice tool on there, a diagnostic tool called What's Wrong with My Plant. This is a kind of a if you're familiar with keys, where you look at a picture, you choose your plant, then you choose the issue that you're having, the part of the plant, then you choose what's going on, holes in the leaves or dusty mildew on your leaves, and then it gives you some options. And these are the most common things that we see. It's not everything, but it's the most common things that we see. So it's a really nice tool for at least giving you an idea of what might be going on with your plants at that point. So lots of different great information, links to the soil test lab, links to our plant disease clinic. Just a great website, and we work hard on it.
Yeah, you guys really do. And another thing, too, although we won't be doing it today, is you've got a great section about taking care of your lawn as far as fertilization programs, things like that, right?
Yeah. And you can find this website at extension.umn.edu. It's called the Yard and Garden page. So if you've never visited it, If you're a new gardener, especially if you have a new home, if you have a community garden plot, this is a really good place for beginners, for intermediate gardeners, and even for more advanced gardeners to find information.
That's kind of who we welcome to the show, beginning gardeners or
all kinds.
Maybe never gardeners.
Yeah, maybe people. I always want to reach out to the people who have a new house. It's their first house. They don't really know what they have in their landscape. And we like to be able to help those new gardeners really feel successful the first time out of the chute.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you have that kind of a question, any kind of a lawn or garden question, now's your chance to either call Julie or send Julie a text. Same number, 651-461-9226. Julie will be with us the rest of this hour. And again, after our home improvement show with Andy Lindis at 9 to 10, Julie's coming back after maybe a little breakfast. I'm not sure. or a brunch. She'll be answering your questions in the 10 o'clock hour this morning. So keep that in mind. Julie, here's a text that just a comment about cleaning up the hostas. This texter uses a battery-powered hedge trimmer.
Oh, yeah.
Quicker than with a handheld clippers. That's a good idea.
There you go. Yeah, that's a good idea. Weed whip. You know, that might be another one, too. Though, you know, they're not very, that's not a very clean cut.
No.
The other thing you don't want to do is shred those, you know, those leaves too much. But, yeah, that would work.
Listener, as you have found out, we have very smart listeners here. So
we do.
Call good in your question or send Julie a text. I'll tell you what let's do. We have a bunch of text and an open phone line, too, if you want to call in your question this morning. But in the meantime, we'll take a break and we'll have a look at that forecast. Let's see if we'll get any melting going on later on today or tomorrow. You stay tuned, and we have another half hour this morning of this particular hour of our Lawn and Garden Talk here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, now is your chance to ask that question to Julie Weisenhorn from the University of Minnesota, who's helping you out not only this hour, but in the 10 o'clock hour this morning as well. Here's the phone number. It's also a text number. We'll get to the phones in a second, but here's the number, 651-461-9226. All right, Julie, we have callers and we have texters. Let's get to it, see if we can help out here first. Judith calling in from Roseville this morning. Judith, you're on CCO with Julie.
Good morning. I have a question about pampas grass. Somebody on our way up to the cabin has pampas grass growing, and it is so beautiful. But every time I've looked it up, it's in zone 9 and 10. What kind grows here?
Okay, so that's a great question. So pampas grass, as you know, Judith, and you've looked online, is these big plumy flower heads. And it's cut and used in arrangements, and it does grow down south. The grass that you see growing in the ditches here is miscanthus, and it's likely miscanthus sacrifolius or sacriflorus, which I believe is it's a more aggressive grass. It moves quite readily through our ditches and in our naturalized areas. It's actually considered to be somewhat invasive and something that we are not really interested in promoting for people to grow. But there are other great ornamental grasses. There's another species of miscanthus called Miscanthus sinensis, and there are cultivars that have been bred of miscanthus. There's also other great sorghastrum, which is a type of a shorter grass but has a nice flower head. There's certainly some of our cultivars of little blue stem. Blue Heaven is one of my favorites. That's Mary Meyer's release of a number of years ago. Great plant. So lots of great ornamental grasses, and one of the best ways to see them is to visit the ornamental grass collection at the Arboretum. And especially at the end of the season, around August or so, I believe that they're actually still standing out there. I haven't been out there recently to look at the ornamental grass collection, but they have wonderful winter interest as well. So they're a terrific addition, but you do not want to be adding the invasive species of those grasses. So, and you're correct, pampas grass is a southern grown grass.
Very good. Thank you, Judith. Jay is on the phone calling in this morning from Invergrove Heights, I do believe. Good morning, Jay. What's your question for Julie?
Well, good morning, Denny and Julie. Wonderful show you've got.
Thank you.
You bet. I've got a question about putting up a noise and visual barrier. I've got a delightful lot that's a couple houses off of Highway 52, and I recently removed some Amur maples that provided that that visual and sound barrier, and thinking about trying to put up something to replace those, and was wondering if you had an opinion on that.
Well, interestingly, hedges that block that are planted like your Amur maples were, or sometimes arborvitae are used for these. Research that I understand from my buddy Jim Culkins, who is the research director at the Minnesota Nursery and Landscape Association, research states that because we can't see the noise, the source of the noise, like the traffic, that actually is more of a sound barrier than the actual plants blocking the noise. So in other words, putting up a hedge won't block the noise as much as we don't pay attention to it because we can't see that source, like the traffic. What I like to recommend a couple things. If you're in a hurry to put something up, any kind of fencing plant combination is always great because, of course, the fence immediately does the trick. But then planting alongside that fence or doing a mixing of fences as well as plants is always advised. And I would always advise, too, that to mix plants, to not plant all the same plant. I like to mix evergreens with deciduous shrubs like red twig dogwood, because now at this time of year you get that great red twig against the dark green background. I like to suggest layering plants, so putting in maybe some evergreens mixed in with some deciduous trees as well, and then also some of these shrubs, and then layering it right up to, you know, if you've got the space for it, to some perennials. So you get a really nice combination, plus you get that noise reduction, the visual is not there anymore, and you get a nice array of different plantings. So rather than one monoculture, decide about maybe three different plants and kind of stagger those, and then if you really need to at some point, be sure to consider putting some kind of fencing in there too.
Okay. Jay, thank you for the call and the comments. That leaves the line open if you want to chat with Julie. 651-461-9226. You can also use that number for your text question. And here's one of those, Julie.
Excellent.
I planted a hydrangea tree this fall. It's about 5 feet tall. The trunk is 2 to 3 inches in diameter. Should I put a white plastic tube around the trunk? I have no deer issues. Maybe a rabbit or two visit once in a while. That comes from Jacob in Waconia.
Well, I think the white plastic tubes that we put around these small trees or young trees do a couple of things. One is that they protect it from animal browsing, but they also protect it from sun scald. On a nice warm winter day, we get the sunlight, and that warms up the cells in the thin bark trees and shrubs like this one. And it can then, as the sun goes down, those cells freeze again, and they can split and rupture and crack that plant. So I think the white guard is a good one, especially because this is a new plant. It's a smaller plant, a younger plant. The other thing about with rabbits, rabbits will browse on hydrangeas. And so a little bit of fencing around that, you know, put the tube on the bark to protect it from the cracking, but then also put a little bit of fencing about 4 feet tall or so of hardware cloth, and tuck that cloth down into the soil if you can. It's still, we're at about 34 degrees in our soil. So push it down into the soil if you can, and that will help keep small animals from feeding on the bark because they like that nice tender bark of those new trees. So it's kind of a double barrier, but it really helps that plant to go into the next growing season much healthier without that damage from the animals.
Okay. We had a text message from a listener who was checking out the website and has a question about the cost of the Master Gardener course. How can you clarify that? Because I think you mentioned to me there's a couple of different levels.
There's two different options. So if you are accepted into the Master Gardener program in your county, you have to apply to it. This is if you want to be a volunteer. So if you want to contribute your time and knowledge to helping others in your community, that's the basis of the Master Gardener program. The cost for that is about $300. There's also another option if you're not interested in being a volunteer, and that's perfectly great. You know, that's wonderful. But you want to increase your own horticulture knowledge, you can take the exact same course information that the Master Gardener does. It's called the ProHort, and that's $600. So it has no volunteer obligation. So there's two different options. Both of these can be found on our extension site, the registration. The Master Gardener course is now, they've already closed that for the coming year, but if you're interested in the ProHort class, you can certainly apply for that, or not apply, but register for that at any time.
And what if I were to do that? What coursework? And you said it's the same as the other program.
As the Master Gardener curriculum.
What do I learn?
Oh my gosh!
Everything.
How much time? We have an extra hour. We start with certainly talking about. I mean, there's insects, diseases, herbaceous plants, trees and shrubs. Integrated pest management, indoor plants,
I guess what I'm
wildlife.
What I'm asking is if someone has an interest but has no knowledge or barely in gardening but really wants to get into it with both feet, would that be advisable?
Great place to start.
Okay, great.
It's very comprehensive. It's taught by people like me, like extension educators. It's online. So you can do it online. There's a Q&A session for Master Gardeners. That's one of the funnest things to do is we get online and with one of the extension educators like me, and people ask questions, just like the show about the topic of the night. So, yeah, it's an amazing program.
How do we find out more about it? Just get on the website?
You can go, just Google it on our site. You can go to the extension.umn.edu and click on Master Gardeners.
Excellent. All right. Here
you
is our
phone. You should do it, Denny.
I should do that.
You should take the ProHort, or if you want to become a volunteer.
And then
that would be awesome.
When you or your colleagues can't make the show, I can try to answer. Well, I don't think that's a good idea.
Yeah, wouldn't need us anymore.
Let's check that. 651-461-9226 is our phone number and text number. Speaking of phones, I know we have to break here momentarily, but John is calling in, I believe, from Stillwater this morning. Thank you, John. What is your question for Julie?
Good morning. Love your show.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I have some cotoneaster bushes that are about 25 years old, and I have trimmed them annually, but in spite of that, they just have become sort of stringy, and I don't like the way that they look anymore. Can those be trimmed down to the ground?
Yeah, they can. You can take them down to about 6 inches or so and take that opportunity to, thin out maybe some of the beefier stems that are looking a little woody and kind of knobby. But yeah, you can do that with cotoneaster, and that should rejuvenate that hedge pretty nicely.
Before I learned the pronunciation from you and your colleagues, I always thought it was cotton Easter.
Well, that's kind of phonetic, isn't it?
It is. Very much. Thank you for being diplomatic. All right, let's take a break. 8:45 is our time.
Kind of phonetic, isn't it?
It is. Very much. Thank you for being diplomatic. All right, let's take a break. 8:45 is our time, Central Time. A lot of snow in the Twin Cities. You may not have received a bunch like some areas. I think we had a text from Forest Lake saying, hey, wait a minute, we got some, about half a foot. But in Woodbury and some points around there, 20 inches, 18
Whoa.
To 20. Isn't that something?
Holy cow.
Yes. But right now in the Twin Cities, again, we'll see some sunshine if you haven't seen some already. 22 is our current temp. We're going to be near 30 today, and no doubt a little bit of melting. But a listener, Julie, did send a text. It's not about gardening, but it might be a good idea for those who do have a lot of snow to get out there and get the snow done early before the sun heats it up, makes it twice as heavy and yeah. sticky, even for snowblowers. So that's a good tip. Thank you for that. And be careful if you're doing some shoveling.
Right.
So let's take this break. Be back with more Smart Garden on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. And good morning. Welcome to this. I say this edition because we have an extra edition.
Woohoo!
At 10 o'clock this morning of our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here with Julie Weisenhorn from the U of M. Yes, if you don't get your question answered this hour, stay with us because in the 10 o'clock hour, Julie will be returning to answer more lawn and garden questions. Special holiday gift from Julie today. All right, let's get this. Well, we got a bunch of whatever, Julie, text messages we don't field this hour will carry over when
good.
You return. But here's one of them. It said, I have my Autumn Joy seed and plants in pots and bring indoors over the winter. Where's the best location for them? Low light area in the basement, on the windowsill to get light, or is a garage okay?
Well, I think Autumn Joy is actually quite hardy here. So if you are, maybe people are just growing them in containers because they like them in containers. That's fine. But they are hardy plants. You can certainly grow them in your garden bed and not bring them in and out. I think considering that I would keep them in a sunny window and keep them going. I wouldn't let them get too tall. I'd kind of keep them. You could keep cutting them back. But yeah, you could certainly grow them in a window. If you put them in your garage, because they're in containers, you might just water them every month or so just to keep a little bit of moisture in there. But yeah, that's a good question about Autumn Joy. But if you you can actually plant it in the garden too. So yeah, that's an excellent question. I'll have to experiment with that.
Do a little more research.
Yeah. It's hard when you have containerized plants like that and they're perennials to keep them, to decide what to do. They actually can survive through the winter outside, but because they're in containers, they freeze solid and it's harder on the plant. So yeah, good question. I think I'd keep them going in my basement in a cool location, but sunny.
Okay.
Might be the best bet.
Julie, for those new to the show, for those that don't know, well, first of all, you do some work at the U of M, of course. You're an educator, horticulture educator, but you are also a member of a band called the Abiders.
The Abiders.
And
yeah.
Every so often, today's no exception, they'll say, when are the Abiders, when and where are the Abiders playing next? So we always like to give that a plug.
Yeah, well, we appreciate that. Yes, we have kind of a new format for the Abiders. Carl and I, of course, are still involved and still part of it. But my older brother, Scott D., Dr. Scott D., he's a veterinarian, a swine practitioner.
Oh.
He is our bass player. And then we also have Dr. John Magley. We've got all these doctors in the band now. He is our lead guitar player. We also have, we welcome back Andy Anda, who's our violin player, and my cousin Jeff Linus Bagley, who's on sax and also helps Carl with sound as well. So we've got a little bit of a new lineup.
All right.
And we are playing our next gig January 15th at Surfside and Mound. So all of you neighbors who are listening, be sure to come on out, check out the new lineup. We did have a great time at the Brew Fest, the Tonka Brew Fest, out at Gale Woods Farm on November 6th, and the new lineup was playing then too. So yeah, come and see us, and we'd love to see some of our listeners out there.
Yeah, great. they'll be applauding in between the sets and asking you lawn and garden questions in between. Yeah.
I'm good with that.
I'm sure you are. All right, Jew. We'll have a chance to mention that again because I know you'll be with us again. I think New Year's Day. As a matter of fact.
I will be with you on New Year's Day.
Yes, all Julie all the time. All right. Let's see. Here says, hello, we always enjoy your show. Thank you. We planted a new Japanese lilac tree back in June of this past summer. We kept it watered well through the drought and into the fall. Do you think we should continue to put a few buckets of water on that tree or just let it go through the winter right now?
I think you're going to be fine. Our soil temperatures, I checked this morning, our 6-inch soil temperatures are about 34 degrees. So we are slowly getting down toward freezing, which means any water would just turn to ice pretty much. So I don't think you need to keep watering it. I hope you mulch the roots. That's always a good practice for trees to protect the roots. And but good for you for keeping it watered through the season and into the fall. It's really important, especially with newly planted trees. So that's excellent.
On previous shows, listener says, you've mentioned fungus gnats. Can I kill them with, it's capitalized, eight. Imagine that's the eight, the chemical.
Yep. So fungus gnats are, they have larvae that feed on the roots of houseplants. And they... Really, your cultural practices will help solve your fungus gnats issue. If you have them right now, I would recommend that you repot the plant and put in some clean, fresh soil. Buy a bag at your local retail center and repot those plants. And before you repot them, if it's doable, wash the roots of the plant off to make sure that you wash off any eggs, larvae, etc., and then repot it. Then be sure that you're watering carefully. Make sure you have a container that drains, that potting mix will drain well, and that you're not letting those plants sit in water. It's that constant wet soil that fosters the wonderful living habit for fungus gnats. So you want your plant to dry out. You want it to be well drained and put it in. Make sure that it's in a good air. You have good airflow around it as well.
Okay.
We also have a great, on our webpage, on our houseplants, there's managing insects on indoor plants, and we do talk about other fungus gnat control measures, too.
Julie, we have a little less than 2 minutes in this particular segment. A reminder to our listeners who maybe have joined us a little bit late that Julie's going to be returning this morning in the 10 o'clock hour. We're going to continue with an extended version of our Smart Garden Show. And any questions we did not get to this hour, we'll carry over and we'll open up the show next time, next hour, in the 10 o'clock hour this morning. Maybe as we head to the break, we could again mention the website, U of M website, because you know what I use it for when I wanted to check out trees or shrubs I was interested in? I looked it up there. So yeah, give us again that website.
Great. extension.umn.edu. Yard and Garden, and we also have the Yard and Garden News, which we continue to write year-round about current things that we see going on. There's a great section from Matt Russell, who's our Extension Specialist in Forest Resources, on a little bit of fun trivia about Christmas trees.
Hmm. All right. Well, so check that out, extension.umn.edu. And stay with us because coming up next hour, Andy Lindis will be answering your home improvement questions. And then Julie returns in the 10 o'clock hour for more Smart Garden Talk. So if you did not get your question answered or if you thought of a new one, you can call or text in the 10 o'clock hour for that extended version of Smart Garden. Julie, take a break in place, as we used to say, and we'll check in with you in the 10 o'clock hour.
Awesome.
All right, Julie Wiseman. See you then. Julie Wiseman from the University of Minnesota. Right now, 22 degrees in the Twin Cities. We expect sunshine and highs near 29. Right now, I can tell you the winds are westerly at 8 miles an hour. The dew point, let's see, that's 19 degrees. Humidity at 89%. A few clouds in the Twin Cities, 22. Stay with me.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more.
head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.